This month, our focus is all about gentleness and the power that is contained in being gentle. And today, it's particularly focused on how gentleness plays out in our relationship to each other. And I've been exploring some ideas for incorporating more gentleness in my life and in particular in my relationships. These are the four ideas I'm looking at right now. The first one is to connect with the ultimate source of power before anything else. Because as tempting as it is to think that other people are the source of your love and happiness and meaning and safety, etc., the reality is that they are part of a larger picture. They are part of your life, but your source is seated within your own heart, your center. So connect with that first. And then the second idea is to then listen attentively to those that are around you and in your life, because they are part of the bigger picture of your life, and that spirit of power is in them too. And then the third step is, well, this third step goes hand in hand with the first two. The third step grows out of it, and it's this: to develop a really strong sense of self. Know who you are, what you value, what you stand for, because in this life, on this journey of relating to people, you are going to encounter personalities and ideas and values and decisions that you do not like or agree with. So it's really important to know who you are, what you value, what you will do, what you won't do, what you stand for. And this clarity comes from practicing the other steps, particularly those first two steps. We're going to look at that. And then the final idea I'm thinking about in my life right now is this: adopting an attitude of being a witness to life, watching other people in your life and yourself and your own mind. And by that I mean adopting this attitude of allowing things to be with less fixing energy and more letting go energy. And from this gentleness of approach, you might notice that you gather the clarity to know what is yours to do, what wants to be done through you and what wants to be said through you. So let's start with the first one. Tune into the source of your spiritual life within, first of all. I recently returned from a trip to Austin, Texas, where some friends and I joined millions, throngs of eclipse chasers, you know. We wanted to witness the total solar eclipse because it was passing directly over several cities in Texas. And as the day got closer for the total eclipse, the weather forecast got worse and worse and worse. Increasingly grim, predicting one day it was going to be cloudy, then it predicted rain, then it predicted high winds, and oh, it was so disturbing. And 2/3 of our group decided that we're going to drive to Dallas because there was a rumor that it would be less cloudy there. So hoping for clearer skies, they set off, and my partner and I, we decided we're going to choose to stay right here in Austin. So we went to a performing arts center. It's called the Long Center, very much like our Luther Burbank Center. And we joined the many hundreds of hopeful people on the cloudy lawn, all donning eclipse glasses and looking up at the cloudy sky. Oh, and by the way, a side note, I don't know, do you listen to the podcast Radio Lab? Oh, it's so good. And the hosts and producers of Radiolab were there at the center, and they were doing an eclipse party, you know, keeping up the spirits in the cloudy sky with music and presentations. But you could feel the nervous anticipation in the air. Will we see it? Or will we just stare at the clouds and imagine what we know is happening there? And then, precisely at 12:17 p.m., that's the moment called first contact, when you see the first sliver of the moon covering the sun. That moment, a small gap in the clouds went bring, and spectacularly opened, revealing the sun and its little sliver to the eagerly awaiting crowd, the appropriately awestruck audience, and the crowd gasped in delight. And then the clouds. And the following moments were this mix of excitement and slight disappointment and anxiety, because the clouds were moving, teasing us. They're like little glimpses of this extraordinary event. And so what this meant to us is that we had to pay attention. You had to be vigilant. We had to be ready with our glasses, not knowing when the next little cloud opening was going to be. And I thought to myself, this is kind of like spiritual life. I have to be aware and know what is behind the clouds of my life. There is indeed a spectacular event unfolding, and I got to stay alert and focused on it until the clouds clear up. And that's what spiritual practice is to me, the daily activities, the actions that I take to stay connected to the bright inner radiance at the center of my universe and yours. Because it sure is easy to get distracted or to look away and miss the event, or to believe that the clouds are permanent or all that there is. So staying available and engaged is an act of determination and choice. So what practices can a person practice that can help? Well, it's going to be different for different people, right? My practices, some of them include deep breathing is a very wonderful way to get centered. And lately I've been working with this practice of breathing in deeply, you know, and then followed by humming the sound of Om, Om, 21 times. Beautiful. And we're going to be doing that on Wednesday night at the Wednesday night service at 7 p.m. along with some repeated affirmations we're going to practice. And another practice of mine is I have a notepad next to my bed, and every night before I go to sleep, I write down the minimum of 10 things that I'm grateful for. Very connecting. And also another practice of mine is to say affirmative prayers. We call that spiritual mind treatment. And lately, I have been doing them almost exclusively for other people. And then, of course, I love acts of generosity, especially anonymous ones. So you see, there's a whole bunch of things you and I can do. And these practices are what keep me alert to the sun of my experience, my existence. And these gentle practices, they release such a power in my life. They build confidence in me, especially when the skies of my life are clouded. They help me remember that the life-giving source hasn't gone. It's just temporarily hidden. And it's the practice that helps me to keep going when times are rough. And then, at 1:36 p.m., that was the time of the total eclipse, the complete eclipse. And again, like on cue, like it had been rehearsed, the clouds went vroom and opened up, and a collective gasp rose from the lawn as we all witnessed the corona, you know, the crown. It's called the crown. It's this crown-like halo of gas that flares out from the sun and can only be seen during a total eclipse. Well, it was just a fleeting moment, you know, quickly hidden again by more clouds, but so stunning. And as quick as it was, I must say, I will never forget it. And again, I thought about spiritual practice. Isn't that the point? Practice so you don't forget. Practice so you don't forget what the sun of your life is. So I practice to connect so frequently that I don't forget. Connect, connect, reconnect, and then connect again. And then from that awareness, step two comes, which is to connect through listening to others. So that's step two today, listen to others. And it's appropriate because listening is the most powerful tool of gentleness. It develops compassion and connection and much more. The American author and illustrator Robert McCluskey, he said something that stays with me. I'll read it to you. It's a lot of words. I know that you believe you understand what you think I said. But I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. Now that has stuck with me, and I've taken that and I've rewritten the first part of that phrase and changed the pronouns to make it personal to me. And I say it to myself silently. I don't use this on other people. I say it to myself. I say, I know I believe I understand what I think you said, but what I heard may not be what you meant. I say that to myself. And it reminds me that listening means to make generous assumptions about other people. It reminds me to slow down in my listening and to listen more, well, to listen beyond my analysis, to listen beyond preparing my response, to listen to more than my own opinion, and to rather listen from that radiant source of calm within. Connect with it, and to ask myself, what does spirit within me hear in this, whatever this is? And this style of listening achieves several things. Try it. It strengthens relationships. It activates empathy. And it also helps the listener, you and me, understand what we have in common and where we are different. And that is so powerful because that's what leads to a strong sense of self, which is the third idea today. Develop a strong sense of self. And listening to others is what helps me to understand who I am. It's all connected. And this is how it works for me. The more I tune into my source and identify with it, the more solid I am in who I am, the more I'm clear on what I think and value, the less I have to convince you. Now I can listen to you without seeking your agreement or approval. I can listen for understanding. And so I notice a bunch of things come up. I notice that when I skip the step of tuning in, when I don't tune into the presence with me, that's when I slip out of listening into telling. And that's when I need attention and appreciation from others, acknowledgement, validation, because I've forgotten that the radiant sun is within me. And I'm instead focusing on the clouds. Now, we had a beautiful prayer from Betty Smith. She is a licensed prayer practitioner at the center. And I trained to be a licensed prayer practitioner at the center too. And I'll tell you what that is. The licensed prayer practitioners are the people who do the prayers at the beginning of our service and the after service prayers also. And they also teach classes. And they are also trained to serve in the capacity of a spiritual coach on a fee-for-service basis. And, you know, we offer that training at the center so you can become one. And I'm telling you about it because it was one of the most important pieces of spiritual education I have ever received, because it taught me to listen. I didn't know how to. And then once I graduated and I started doing the work of a practitioner, you know, seeing clients, I discovered very quickly that the less I said, the wiser I was thought to be. I can say with honesty that I discovered that very few people that came to see me actually needed my advice, or my correction, or my inspiration, or my guidance, or whatever it is. What most people seemed to need was to be listened to until they reconnected and remembered their own inner light source behind the clouds of their existence. Paul Tillich, he once described listening as the first duty of love. Now, he didn't say agreeing or correcting or advising or solving, but instead to be present and open. And to be fair, that's easier to do when you know who you are, when you've taken the time to connect with the spirit within. So I really did learn how important that first step is. Tune into the source before you do anything. Before you start to listen, before you open your mouth to speak, before you make a decision, before you have breakfast, before you go on a date, before you think, tune in. Because like I said at the beginning, you are going to encounter on this journey things that you don't like. And if you and I don't know who we are, if we don't know what our values are and what we stand for, and we forget what we are rooted in, then it makes the journey just that much more rough. So when I was seeing clients, you know, before email and before text messages, people would write me cards and thank me. They would tell me just how much I helped them on their spiritual journey. But I can say to you with all honesty, what all that I did was listen to them attentively. And I made it my goal to learn who they were, trusting that beyond the clouds of whatever circumstance they were relating to me, beyond those clouds, a bright source was perpetually present. And I knew it was a waiting game that they would come to it. And so I would say to my clients, tell me everything. Start at the beginning. In other words, I had to choose to be interested. And now I use that same approach in my life, in my relationships now. I get to choose to be interested. Choose to listen attentively. And that brings me to the fourth idea I'm sharing today, this idea of becoming a witness to life around me and other people, to life within me, in my own mind, to be an observer. It's an attitude. And there's a good reason for this. And the reason for this is because my mind is rowdy, unruly, busy. Yours? See, now I know something that I didn't know before. Not everything my mind thinks is important. I didn't know that. Not everything that gets my attention should be followed. Not every opinion my mind makes needs to be respected or expressed or heard. Not every impulse my mind has needs to be satisfied or communicated or obsessed about. I didn't know that. Most of it just needs to be witnessed, noticed, acknowledged, and watched as it dissipates like a cloud. Oh, so much anxiety and tension evaporated when I realized that. You see, my mind, and I'm guessing other people's minds are like this, I'm hoping. My mind dashes around from one idea to the other. I mean, sometimes it's lingering on stuff from the past in an obsessive way. Other times it's furiously creating a future that's quite terrifying, and so on. Now, there isn't anything wrong with that. See, I didn't know that either. That's just what a mind does. It does that. But here's the thing. A lot of it is just passing clouds. Some of it quite irrelevant. I remember shopping with a friend. We were at the plaza here, downtown Santa Rosa, and I was tired from shopping, but he had still one thing he had to get. So I decided I would just sit on one of the benches and people watch while he finished up his shopping. And, you know, and as I people watched, I started eavesdropping as they walked past, you know, picking up the snippets of the conversation, listening to all of that going by. And I thought to myself, I remember it quite clearly, this is how I should treat my own mind. The way I'm watching these people, that's what I want to do with my mind. Here's what I mean. Sitting there as a person, I didn't jump up and chime into the conversation. I just watched. Some things that came by, I simply did not agree with. Others I was quite fascinated by. And even the fascinating ones, I didn't get up and follow to hear more. I let it go. I didn't need to follow it. I could just sit and witness that they were indeed happening. Oh, I remember that day in the mall because I heard it all, bits of conversation, you know, the whole range of human expression, wanting, preferring, hating, loving, controlling, blah, 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 blah. Doing what minds do. And I didn't have to do anything about it. I could just notice my responses to it. I noticed, oh, I'm judging that one. I'm liking that one. I'm rejecting that one. This one feels sticky, etc. Just noticing. Like clouds passing in front of the radiant sun, they cleared up as I let each one be. And I'm still practicing that with my mind. I do. It's a type of meditation that I do first thing in the morning. I sit first thing in the morning and I watch. What's going on in there? Noticing the feelings and the thoughts and the snippets of conversations like people walking by. What's going on in there? And I let it float on with the energy of letting and less energy of fixing, being a witness. It's so interesting. I've become particularly interested in how many thoughts inside of my head tell me that they are urgent. Now I've learned to acknowledge them. Hear them out. Let them be what they are. If they think they're urgent, so it is. But all the while, there's this tremendous gentleness that is percolating, and there is a peace underneath it. It's been very helpful, this practice, even with relationships. It's helped me to calm down the urge to control, to give advice when none has been asked for, to listen instead. And so I've learned how to, well, getting better at it, drop the urge to solve everybody's life problems, and instead to trust that being there and listening is one of the most powerful things I can do. And it's helped me become more comfortable with the idea that I may not know how to fix certain things. And even if I did fix them in my life, it may not apply to somebody else's life. And so there's a tremendous peace in that. So a good practice is to listen, for me, to listen with curiosity leading. And so as I'm listening, I ask myself, how am I similar? How am I different? What is this person saying, thinking, feeling? What wants to happen in here? And how does the spirit within me hear this? It's my own inner process. Well, that's a beautiful question for today. Consider this. How might it be for you today to offer no advice or opinions on anything? Just try it for one day. Just listen. Now, somebody might ask, isn't this too passive? Doesn't this lead to like non-action and no decisions and no solutions? Well, in my experience, no, just the opposite. In my experience, this leads to engagement, authentic engagement. My perspective is that this kind of gentleness of mind clarifies in me what's mine to do and to say, and it comes out better. Thinking about the eclipse, you know, I thought, well, when is the next one? Well, in California, we have to wait until 2045. It's a bit long. It's all right. In Austin, they have to wait until the year 2345, so there's that. But you and I, we don't have to wait at all to tune into the radiance at the center of our being. So whether your life's skies are cloudy or clear, let's practice today so that we can keep on creating within ourselves a vivid, clear, strong awareness of that which is persistently present at the center of our being. I invite you to breathe in. And as you exhale, let your eyes close and imagine that these words or words similar to them are coming from within your own being. Today I relax my body consciously, and I do so by relaxing my thoughts. And as I relax, I feel aliveness present in me, flowing in me. Right now, today, I'm aware of this aliveness. I feel immersed in the energy of being. I call it spirituality, and I'm tuning into it. My awareness of this creative energy is filling me right now with a radiance, and a confidence comes from it. It is preparing me to meet each person today with openness and curiosity. Today, I decide to be interested and present. I am drawing upon the spiritual wisdom at the center of my being to be confident. I am on a journey of seeking common bonds with every person I meet today. I have a sense that we are all part of one spiritual wholeness. Today, I make it my business to focus on my oneness with all of creation. I sense in me a deep-rooted desire to connect, to learn, to watch. I feel the deep call to express loving kindness through understanding and listening. Today, I let myself be aware that my life is an expression of the living spirit, and that the living spirit expresses through me and through all beings and through all life, and so I call it all that there is. Today, I imagine thinking about myself and others in the same way that the source of all life thinks about everything. And I imagine it to be accepting, affectionate, kind, embracing, and powerful. And so I duplicate that in my own life. And so I say to myself that the way of the living spirit is written in my heart. And today I am at peace with who I am. And though a cloud may obscure this awareness, the memory and awareness of it remains clear and deep. And I am peace. I am calm. I am confident.